Well, what is going on, church? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I just want to thank Rachel for sharing that song with us today. Wasn't that awesome? You know, I think vulnerability, as much as I don't like it, vulnerability is such an important skill, such an important thing in family and churches. And I think we've all can relate to some part of our lives when we have felt like that song was communicating and singing. You know, when I was holding my daughter over here, but I thought back to when we didn't know if we were going to be able to have a baby and the quietness and all that. So, Rachel, I don't know where you're at, but thank you so much for sharing that. My name is Nathan, and I'm the lead pastor here, and it's awesome to have you. First time with us. Welcome. We're in a soundtrack series where we're looking at soundtracks. And soundtracks are this: the reoccurring thoughts we have that affect the way we see ourselves and the world around us through our strongest thoughts. And we've been kind of looking at this idea that we get from Proverbs that, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is," that our life is moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And so thoughts are important because we realize that thoughts lead to beliefs, beliefs lead to identities, and identities lead to action, but it all starts with thoughts. So we are where we're at right now partially because of the things we've been thinking. And so we've been looking at this idea that is so fundamental, that if you want to change your life, it starts with changing your thoughts, changing the way you think. And maybe, just maybe, that we need to start capturing our thoughts instead of them capturing us, that we need to start directing and guiding our thoughts instead of them directing and guiding us. So that's what we've been looking at. So today we're going to continue on this theme. But first, I like some crowd interaction. So we're going to play a game. There's going to be some lyrics on the screen. They're going to be pretty easy, but you're going to see a blank. And all I need you to do is scream out the word or yell out the word or shout out the word that is going to go in the blank. So the first one's really easy. Hit me one more time. Hit me, baby, one more time. Anybody love that song growing up, right? Yeah, Britney Spears, my childhood crush. Loved it. How about this? I had a barbecue stain on my white T-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt. You know what I'm talking about, right? Tim McGraw. Anybody like that song? Come on now. I'm a little disappointed. I thought more of you would have known that song. Okay. How about this? The Eye of the Tiger is the what? Thrill of the fight. Good job. All right. So first service was a little bit better at that one than you guys, but let's try to redeem ourselves. There's two of them here. Just a small town girl living in a... There we go. She took the midnight train going anywhere, right? I can't sing. Just a city boy, born and raised in. Easy. You guys are good at that. Awesome. Do you see how easy it was just to fill in those, you know, blanks? I got to thinking this week as we're kind of sticking on that theme of soundtracks. Just like music, like you can hear a song and all of a sudden, like, it just takes you back. Like, I think of the song All the Small Things by Blink-182. Like, as soon as I know that, it's like I'm taken back to another time and I can sing that entire song. Well, just like those lyrics, we have something called auto-response thoughts. That when you're faced in a circumstance, a situation, a relationship issue, parenting issue, something's going on in life, you have three or four or five kind of auto-response thoughts or auto-response emotions. Something that we think right away. And for me, what I find in my life, when I have these auto-response thoughts, there's also auto-response words, and often those words are what get me in trouble. But we have circumstances, and when we're faced with these circumstances or find ourselves in the middle of these circumstances, often you can look at your life and you can find that, hey, I'm responding in the same nature almost every single time. Right? If you don't know what your auto response is, ask your spouse or ask somebody that you know. They will tell you, because we all have them, right? Some of you are automatically angry. Like, everything just makes you mad. You're like just grr all the time, right? Some of you are sad. Some of you have what we're going to talk about today of worry and anxiety. This is the topic that since day one, when we announced this series, people were like, hey, are you going to talk about this? Are you going to talk about worry? Are you going to talk about anxiety? I'm like, listen, don't worry. We're going to talk about it, right? Hey, we're going to get there. Eventually, we're going to get there. And this is the topic, the soundtrack that I've found from talking to other people, listening to people's story, that this is the soundtrack that we have to talk about, because so many of us struggle with it. Matter of fact, a study came out in the world in 2019. Man, what would you do to go back to 2019 before you ever heard the word COVID, right? Before toilet paper shortages and all that chaos that happened in the world? This is what they found in this study done on anxiety in America. It says two out of three, that's a lot of people, right? Said they were anxious or extremely anxious. They didn't just worry. There's a difference that they were anxious. Like they say, that is a quality that I have or a trait that I have, or extremely anxious. In the same study they found in 2019, again, this was before the world went crazy, 2019, they say this number, they're going to do some studies in the coming years, that this number is going to go higher. I don't know how it gets higher than 2 out of 3. It may be 3 out of 3. But then we saw also in the same study that they did middle school or teenage kids, high school or college age, so really 22 to the 13 age, right? Maybe you're like me and you're on that 5-year college plan. It might be 23 or 24. But college age, the teenage parents, this is a real, grandparents, this is a really big number. 91% of kids, of teens, said they were anxious or extremely anxious. 91%. You can't get 91% of people to agree on anything, right? Like, but they're agreeing on anxiety and worry. And so what we have to do is, like, we got to look at this, like, okay, we got to talk about it. One, the Bible talks about it, so we got to talk about it. But there's going to be some complexity to this conversation. I'm not an expert on thoughts, on counseling. I have my wife, who's just up here, she does mental health therapy, and she's got her master's in that. That's her kind of field that she works in. And so I try to learn from her, but she knows way more than me. So I'm not an expert. But I also realize, like, topics like this, I don't want to pretend to be an expert on. That, man, 91% of people struggle with it. 2 out of 3 struggle with it. That it's very extreme. It's very complex. And so here's the tension that we live in when we talk about topics like this. One, the tension is this, that for some of you, what we're going to learn today, this is going to be maybe all you need, right? And everybody needs what we're going to talk about. No matter what your relationship with anxiety or worry is, we all need to do and listen to what we're talking about today, what Jesus has to say. But also, I realize that there's another part that no matter what I say or what I do or what we talk about, is that maybe you need a little bit more help. And maybe you need to go to the therapist. And maybe for some of you, it's more than just that. You need maybe to take some medication, or you need to talk with somebody, and there's another step you need to take. So I hate that we have to say it, but we got to say this. You can have a therapist and love Jesus too, right? That just like modern medicine, for when I had knee surgery or break my foot, I go to the doctor. Some of us need to go talk to the counselor, and there's no shame in that. And maybe it's going to help put you on the right path to get to where you need to be in your personal life and your faith. So it's very complex, so we got to understand that. We also got to understand all of us experience anxiety and worry differently. Like, we all have different experiences with it. For some of you, your worry is like, people look at you like, hey, do you even have a pulse? Because you're never worried, right? It drives other people nuts. Like, you don't worry about anything, right? Or your worry is a little situation, like, got a health scare or a financial issue, or there's something that's causing a little tension in your life. It's just kind of situational. And for most of my life, that's where I was. And then I had a kid, and then, like, my anxiety and worry went up the roof. Like, man, I remember, like, when Natalie was really young, Natalie was colic. And so, like, if you never had a colic baby, praise the Lord for that, right? Like, it's tough. And so she kept crying all the time, and we thought, well, she's crying because she wants some food, right? So we fed her and we fed her and we fed her, and we overfed her. And one night we were just holding her, it was like 2 in the morning, and Whitney's burping her, and she like exorcist pukes everywhere, all over the house, all over the bed. Like, I'm like, what did we just do to this baby? Did we break it, right? Like, there's so many things that cause anxiety with parenting. And so maybe you just have that kind of a modern worry or anxiety, or maybe, just maybe, some of you are here today, you're like, hey, I don't show it. Maybe I do show it. Maybe I think I hide it well. But I don't know when I don't worry. Like, it's such a big part of my life that it consumes me. It consumes my faith. It consumes my relationship. It's wrecked relationships. I worry about everything. I can't watch TV. I can't watch the news. Like, I'm just worried all the time. And so we're all different places. And here's the reality. Here's the tension, right? There's always something to worry about. Even if you don't worry, there's something to worry about. You got kids and financial issues, and we're in a political year, so there's the political worries, and there's things going on in the world, and like, there's always something to worry about. And what we live in is, we live in this tension, this point where, like, hey, we want to live like Jesus, we want to be followers of Jesus, we want to be set apart, and we don't want to worry, but we look around and like, man, there's always something to worry about. So we ask this question. Is it possible to not be controlled by the soundtrack of worry. Like, is it possible? Is it possible? So that's what we're going to look at today. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus. And he was on this mountainside, a hillside, if you will, probably a mountain. And he has his disciples, and they're gathered in front of him, and he's teaching. But scholars believe as he's teaching, a crowd starts to gather along, and he starts preaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the goat of all sermons. It's the greatest of all time sermon. So Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you've never read it, go home and read it. If you're new to faith, go home and check it out, because you've learned so much. But he's preaching about all these topics, and he's preaching about, hey, you know, I'm bringing a new kingdom, and my kingdom doesn't look anything like the world thinks. But eventually, he gets to a topic that people were asking about in Matthew 6. He's around these people, and they're asking the same question. They're like, is it possible? They didn't have CD players, so they're not talking about soundtracks. But is it possible to live in such a way? Maybe this is a question you've asked. Is it possible to live in such a way that you're no longer controlled by worry? Now, notice I said controlled, right? It's an important word here. Not, is it impossible not to have worry? Is it impossible to never have a worried thought? No, that's not the question. But is it possible to not be controlled by a soundtrack of worry? They're asking the same question because their survival was day to day. Their food was day to day. They didn't have Culver's and Taco Bell within a thrown stone away, right? They didn't have any of that. It was day to day for survival. So they're like, hey, is it possible? Can I live life and not be worried? And Jesus is preaching and he's teaching, and this is what he says. He goes, therefore, and that therefore has to connect to something. So right before that, he's talking about money and finances and being controlled by those things. So he goes, therefore, I tell you, what's he say? Do not worry. All right, now we can all go home, right? We got the advice. Don't worry. If you're worried, stop worrying, right? That's what I usually tell Whitney. Like, hey, you worried? I got it handled. Don't worry. And that, when I say I got it handled, that causes more worry for her. But here's what Jesus says. He's like, do not worry. And then he's going to go on a list of things that they're worried about. And so these may not necessarily relate to us, but here's what he's saying. All these things that he's going to say here that he's talking about worrying about, these are all the places that we often put value or substance in, or things that we call, or devotion. So things that we place of high value in our lives. Not always good. It could be money. It could be a lot of things. So here's what he says. He's like, don't worry about all these areas that are causing all these concerns, like what you'll eat or drink, or about your body. Anybody ever worry about their body, right? Ever worry about what people think about that, or how you feel, or your health, like what you'll wear? You ever think about your clothes? Like, man, I hope somebody notices I look good today at church, right? That's what I do every week. Like, I want, right? Is it life not more about food than about food, and your body more about clothes? Look at all the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Then he asks this like important question. It's like the question, especially if you worry that you don't want anybody to ask, because he's like, hey, can anybody of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? To that we say, no, right? And so he starts off with saying, do not worry. Really, we should say, do not be controlled by the thoughts of worry, right? He's saying, do not let worry dominate you. Do not let worry or anxiety dictate how you live, dictate everything you do. And then he ends this section. He has so much more to say. You need to go home and read it yourself. But he says, can any of you, and we know the answer, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Does worry bring any benefit to your life at all? Does it, anybody, right? No, it doesn't. Matter of fact, that same study that said all these people worried, they found, that they, I don't know how they did the statistic, but they said that 90% of the things you worry about never actually happen. But here's the reality, the tension. We still worry. We know it brings no value. We know it just turns our hair gray. We know it just makes our hair fall out. We know it just is bad for our health, yet we're still worrying. So what Jesus is trying to say in this section is like, listen, there's a way to live in life and to have thoughts of worry, but not be dominated by it. We're going to say it this way. There's a way to turn down the dial on your worry. May not be a switch. There may not be a quick fix to it. It may not be like, hey, somebody says stop worrying and you stop worrying. It's like, no, listen, there's a way. to turn down that dial. And what does the dial do? It turns down the volume. There's a way to turn it down where it's not dominating, where it's not controlling you, where it's not dictating you, where it's not making you miss out on things in life, where it's not destroying your faith. There's a way to turn down the dial on worry. So if someone told you there's a way, would you want to listen to it? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So let's go to his advice. Here it is. Don't get mad at me. He says it, not me, okay? Here we go. Look at the birds of the air. And to that you're like, dude, look at the birds of the air. He's like, yeah, listen. Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So here's Jesus' best advice. Look at the birds. Can you imagine being there? Like, you hear this Jesus guy, he's like Jesus knew, he's a rabbi, he's a teacher, he's preaching new things, he's gonna talk on life, and he starts talking about worry, and you're like, finally, this is it! This is where I learned no longer to be controlled by worry. And the first thing he says is he's just preaching, and he looks up and he sees a bird, he's like, hey, look at the birds. Bro, you kidding me? Dude, I'm freaking out, man. I don't know how I'm gonna get bread today. I don't know how I'm gonna get money. I don't know how I'm gonna eat. And you're telling me to look at the birds. Look at the birds. How can I look at the birds? Like, all I can see is worry. And Jesus is like, shh. Just look at the birds. And then my mind goes to, like, how many people looked at the birds and got bird poop in their eye? Like, what are we doing here, right? Jesus, come on, man. That's the point where most people would walk out. He's like, no, look at the birds. Look at them. Like, in Logansport, you can do that. Like, look at all the birds. Like, I live over here. It's like, what are those birds doing? Like, what's hidden in those woods? Like, is stranger things take place in Logansport? Like, what's going on, right? But he's like, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Okay, we're looking at them. He's like, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns. I'm like, dude, I don't know what birds do. Like, I don't know. Why are we talking about the birds? He's like, birds don't go to their nest and be like, hey, man, I hope that girl across the street likes my feathers, right? Like, I look so good. I'm a crow, man, right? They don't worry about where they build houses. They don't care if someone lives in a house. They will build a nest there. They don't care. One of the birds flew into the vents here like, hey, I'm going to make a home here. Like, they do not care, right? They do what they want to do, right? They're just chirping away and whatever they're doing. They're not worried about the economy. They're not worried about presidents. They're not worried about gas prices, right? They're just doing what birds do. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. So what he's doing is he's like, hey, that thought of anxiety and worry, it's just distracting you. Just pause and look up. And look at those birds and use it as a reminder. Are you not much more valuable than they? God takes care of the birds. And are you not much more valuable than they? And to that we say, yeah, I hope so. I hope God loves me more than the birds. So look at somebody next to you and say, hey, God loves you more than the birds. Tell them, come on now, tell them. You may not love them more than the birds, but God does, right? He loves them more than the birds. So he's like, listen, draw your attention to that. And then, this is so cool how the Bible connects. Some years after Jesus is crucified and risen from the dead, one of his disciples who heard that very sermon on worry, he goes out and he's preaching the gospel and he's starting to be persecuted. And there's these Christians that he's preaching to and they're being persecuted and they're freaking out. Life is not going good. And he writes a letter. He sits down and he starts talking about some anxiety and worry. And I imagine as he's writing this letter, he thinks back to the first time he heard Jesus' advice on worry and thought about the birds. He's like, man, I didn't understand, but now I understand. And he writes this in a letter to a group of Christians who are struggling with worry. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He loves you more than the birds. Peter says, you got a heavenly Father who loves you more than the birds. So cast, which is a fishing term. Peter was a fisherman, so he's talking to his audience who understood this. It's casting, it's throwing. Throw your worry on him. Why? Because he cares for you. There's a way to live life and not be controlled by worry. It's by focusing on that God loves you, that you can cast your anxiety on him. So it's this idea, say, God, hey, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm freaking out, I'm worried, I'm anxious all the time about my kids, about my job, about my relationships. I don't know if I'm gonna get through this season. I don't know if I'm gonna make it. I hate this job. I don't wanna work here, but God, this is where I'm at. What am I doing? Peter says, cast it onto God. And people ask all the time, well, what should I cast or what should I go to God with? And the question is, what shouldn't you? So if it's big enough for you to worry about, if it's causing you to worry, it's big enough to cast to God. So Peter and Jesus, Peter just echoing Jesus are telling us there's a way to turn down that dial, to reshift our focus. There's a Father who loves us. There's a Father who helps us get through these things. There's a Father who, when we are worried, when our mind is just wanting to focus on worry, it's stopping, it's pausing, it's using the birds as a reminder to say, God loves me and God will take care of me. So what I want to do is I want to look at something, a section of the Bible that really is somebody dealing with worry, dealing with anxiety, dealing with depression, and I think they know the truth that God loves them. And what I want to do is take you to this very specific psalm, and like Nate said, psalms are songs and poems, so this would have been constructed in that way. But we don't know a whole lot about it. We don't know a lot about the author. We don't know what's going on. But what you see is this internal struggle with someone who loves God, yet is worried, yet is anxious, and yet is depressed. And I want to walk you through what he says and what he does, because I think it's vulnerable. I think it's open. I think it's raw. I think it's what so many of us experience, even without ever saying it. And maybe today, just maybe, it gives you a little bit of hope of what to do with your worry and anxiety. So Psalm 42, and here's what it says. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water. And I know as soon as you read that we talked about today, all you hear is deer pants. They're not talking about a pair of pants that are deer pants, right? It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, as the deer is very thirsty for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So there's this imagery going on. And it's not this cute little Bambi picture that Disney paints, right? It's not like a little deer and there's a stream of water and there's a cabin and he's drinking and it's all cute and it's stitched on your grandma's pillow on her couch. We're not talking about that, right? We're talking about a deer who is wandering through life, who is panting for water, who is thirsty. He's on the verge of dehydration and he's looking for somewhere to drink, but he can't find it. He's like, I need streams of water. I need it to live. My soul is looking for you, God. I'm consumed by worry. I'm consumed by anxiety. I'm consumed by my emotions, and I'm looking for you. I want to drink out from what you have to offer. And so what I learned about deer this week is that I didn't know this. I'm not a hunter. I don't know much about deer, but deer will drink water, they said, when they're safe. So a deer will pass up other streams of water if it feels like it's in danger. But when a deer finds a place where it feels safe, and then all of a sudden some of you guys just shoot it, right, and bring meat home, right? But it drops its head. So if there's a stream and it feels safe, it will drop its head. And it'll stop focusing on things around it, and it'll drink the water. And so connect what the author is saying. I'm looking for a place where I can feel safe in the presence of God. I'm looking for God to help me overcome my worry, my depression, my anxiety. When can I go and meet with God? And he continues. And he says, my tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? And so this man, he's feeling it. He's going through the motions. He's like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so consumed with what I'm feeling. Sometimes worry and anxiety that does this. And he's like, people are mocking me. They're like, where is God? I don't feel God in my life. So the question is, what do we do when we're overwhelmed? When we're worried, when we feel like God is quiet, when we feel like God isn't answering, what do we do? What do we do when it feels like worry is winning? It says, these things I remember. So all of a sudden, there's a dial being turned up, right? He's turning down the dial in worry, and he's turning up another dial. These things I remember. What do I remember? He says, I remember these things. I pour out my soul. Here's what I remember. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. He's like, I remember when things were better. I remember when I wasn't consumed by these emotions. I remember when I felt like God was in my life. I remember when I felt like God was speaking to me. I remember a time when worry, anxiety, sadness, and depression weren't winning. I remember that. And he's starting to turn up the volume of a new soundtrack. So he has these thoughts, but he's turning the volume down, the dial down, and he turns up the volume on something new. He's remembering. And then he tells you we kind of see what he turns up. He says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Here he goes. Put your hope in God, the God who loves you more than the birds. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He starts talking to himself. I heard this quote once. For many Christians, the problem is that we do too much listening to ourselves and not enough preaching to ourselves. He's preaching to himself. He's like, hey, I remember. Man, I remember who God is, right? Why am I so downcast? Why am I so disturbed? Why am I so overcome with these emotions? Why? And he's asking himself why. He's like, why is the only thing I can see worry and anxiety and sadness? And isn't that a picture of what worry does? I think for me, whenever I have worry in my life, especially on big things, big major issues or big seasons in my life, the worry feels like this dense fog. And it's like with a dense fog, all you can really see is the fog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really see past it. Like, you can't see the lights past it. And if you live in a city, if you watch, like, the Indianapolis News, or where I live close to Cincinnati, like, when fog was happening, it was a big deal. It would wreck, you know, kind of traffic. There would be more car accidents. It would cause things to go slow. Like, you just, fog is over, it's overwhelming at times. You can't see anything. And sometimes I just feel like that's what worry does. And what's interesting, I learned a little bit about fog this week too. Like, man, I learned about deer and fog in the same week. Like, that's a crazy week, right? But there's a study done that they said that if you take 7 city blocks of fog, that's 100 feet dense. So 100 feet dense, 7 city blocks. And you were to squish it and smush it into a glasses of water, how many glasses of water do you think it would fill? It would fill 1 glass of water. But it can wreck an entire city, especially from Illinois. People can't drive there, right? Like, Chicago's ruined with fog, right? It's ruined anyways, but that's another topic anyways. All right. But all that fog, 1 glass full of fog can cause chaos. 1 situation of worry can blind you, consume you, dictate you. You can feel disturbed. You feel down. It can totally cripple your life, because anxiety and worry has this ability in our minds to focus in on that one thing we're worried about. It's kind of like this game. You ever play this game growing up? We're going to play another game. I'm going to have an image on the screen. I want you to guess what it is. What is this? Anybody? Nope. It's a golf ball. Right? Can't tell when it's zoomed in, can you? What about this? Kind of looks like a mole on your grandpa's back, but that's not what it is. What is it? Anybody know what this is? It's a match. Kind of hard to see that it's a match when all you focused in on one little part. What about this? If you get this, you're very talented. Anybody know what this is? It's an ice skate, right? No, anybody get that? If you did, you're lying. Nobody got that, right? That's hard. I was looking at it at Google. I still don't know if that was the same picture, man. But I think those are great illustrations, because when you have that worry, all you can see is the thing you're worried about. You can't see the bigger picture. You can't remember. You can't remember what God's done. You can't remember how you've gotten through this before. You can't remember that last time I worried about it, nothing actually happened. Like, my worry didn't happen, right? It just blinds us. So that's what he's going through. So he starts talking to himself, and he's preaching to himself, like, hey, listen, dude, put your hope in God. So we got to say, hey, God loves me. God loves me more than the birds. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He's like, I have to put my hope in that. He starts preaching to himself. He replaces a broken soundtrack of worry and anxiety with a soundtrack of hope. He placed his hope. Sometimes when we're worried, we got to place our hope back in God. We got to start believing, hey, God was faithful in the past. He'll be faithful again. God got me through this. He'll get me through it again. There was a day when things were good. There'll be a day when things are good again. And we got to tell ourselves that. Like, listen, I may be worried. And what's causing you to worry may be legit. And your feelings may be legitimate. But you got to start preaching to yourself. God loves me. He loves me more than the birds. He loves me. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. There's a day when things will be better. It may not be great right now, but God has worked in the past. He starts telling himself these things. And then he starts kind of describing his emotions again. He goes, deep calls to deep and the roar of your waterfalls. I'm like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. All your waves and breaks have swept over me. He's just saying all these things, all these emotions. By the day, Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. So he's saying, I'm preaching these things to me because I'm remembering as I'm feeling these things, I got to preach to myself that God is with me. He's directing me. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. And then he says this, why my soul are you downcast? He repeats himself. Sometimes you got to repeat yourself. Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And Psalm 42 ends like that. And I wanted to end with like this, and it goes on to Psalm 43, but Psalm 43 ends like with this. I wanted to end with that because I didn't want to fool you today. I didn't want you to come in here and think that we could give you a fast fix to never worry again. But I wanted to be open and see like this sometime, even when you follow Jesus, even when you're living life and you love God and God is the center of your life, sometimes you experience what this guy experienced, this author experienced. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, you got to preach to yourself. You got to just keep living life, turning down that dial. And though we don't get the answer that he's not worried anymore, we don't get the answer that he's no longer downcast, we get the answer that this will not control me and this will not direct me, that there's hope in God. And what I love about this psalm that I often go back to in these dark moments or these moments where life is heavy when it feels like I don't know what to do next, is that he feels confident no matter where he is, how far gone he is, how far his worry and his emotions have taken him, that he can go back and praise his Savior and his God. That no matter where we are, we can cast our anxieties on him. So what I wanted to do real quick is I wanted to end with a couple practical steps that maybe you can take. And maybe you feel like this is your life. Maybe you feel like worry is controlling you. I just want to start getting us on a spiritual, the right track of no longer being controlled by worry. So the first one is this. Name your worry soundtrack. Every album back in the day used to have a name to it, a title to it. So what we got to do is we got to name our soundtracks of worry. What causes me to worry? What causes me to freak out? What is it that's causing me to lose sleep? What is it that's dictating my life? Start naming it, because when you name it, then you can cast it. If you don't name it, you won't be able to cast it. And get real practical and start praying over it. Every day, say, God, hey, help me deal with this. Help me deal with this worry. And so if you need prayer today, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. We have a prayer room and a prayer team. Go over there and let them start praying over you and helping you cast your worry, your anxiety onto God. You got to cast it, because the longer you carry it, the longer you're going to be controlled and consumed by it. So start casting it, but you can't cast something you won't name. So you got to name it. And then this is really important. Get the appropriate help. For some of us, what we learn today, you start casting, you start looking at the birds, reminding yourself. For some of you, that is what you need. And that, all of us need it. For some of you, that's going to be it. For others of us, and we need to take that next appropriate step. We need to meet with someone and talk with someone. We need someone to pray over us. We need to find a group of people that can help us. We need to find a therapist. We get the appropriate help. And then, the most practical today, is we put the soundtrack of Win the Day on repeat. Win the Day. When I talk with people with worry, I never quite used to understand it. And I would say, dude, just stop worrying, or lady, I don't know what ladies call themselves, but stop worrying, right? Stop worrying. Stop worrying, stop worrying. And then I started talking to people who worried. And I started talking about people who say anxiety, and they see counselors, and they're like, if we could, we would. But you don't know what it's like just to get out of bed some days. And then this mantra of win the day has become something that I think is so important. When I read Psalm 42, I see someone who's trying to win the day. Just get through that moment, get through that season. And sometimes, man, it takes everything we have just to get our feet and put them on the floor and not be consumed by worry. But if we can just learn to take these little steps, connect these little steps, because these little steps of victory get us to the destination we want to get. You don't do it right away. It's just connecting little days. It's connecting hours and situations and step by step together to ultimately get to where you need to be. And sometimes we just need to win the day with worry. And when I started preaching every single Sunday, right? Every single Sunday, you know what I would do before I preached? I would throw up. I would throw up. I was so consumed with worry. I used to be so consumed with what people think. Now it's like, hey, I got to preach it no matter what people think, right? But I used to be so consumed, and I just had to learn, hey, I got to get through this Sunday. I'm like, hey, if I ever puke on the stage, that means I got to leave, right? So I don't want to puke on the stage because I'm not ready to leave yet, right? And so I used to be consumed, and I just taught myself, like, win the day, win the Sunday, win the day, win the day. Win the day. Hey, God, hey, this is what I'm worried about today. I'm going to win this day. God, hey, I'm going into work. I'm freaking out about this. Win that situation. Win the day. Win the day. You know who also said that? Jesus. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has what? Enough trouble of its own. 2,000 years ago on the mountainside, when Jesus is talking about a bunch of birds, and people may have missed it, he said, why don't you focus on today? And I'll focus on tomorrow. You work hard today. You do what you need to do today. You do everything to the best of your ability to handle your situations. And trust me with the rest. So my question is, what would it look like for you and me every day? We woke up and won the day. But we also believe this. We looked up at the birds and said, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. And he loves me more than the birds, and I can trust him. What would your life look like if every day you woke up and you just won the day? You won the day, and you cast it to God. Here's my promise, what will happen. For 7 days, you do that. Do it for 7 months, 7 years. As you start casting, you start winning the day, your relationship with worry and anxiety won't be so consuming. You may still have it, but it'll no longer control you. But your relationship with God will also grow. And the closer you are to God, the more you cast your anxieties onto him, the more you have the ability to deal with your anxiety and worry. You may still have it. You may still have to see a therapist. But your relationship with God grows. And when you're closer to God, God helps you in this struggle. So cast your anxieties on the Father who loves you more than the birds. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful, so thankful for who you are. That you allow us to cast our anxiety to you, that you walk with us in the darkest valleys, that you walk beside us. You call us to cast our problems onto you, to have a relationship with you, Father. So if there's anyone here who needs to do that, Father, I pray during the song, they go to the prayer room and they talk with somebody, God. But right now, we're gonna turn the loudest volume of worship on we have in our minds. We're gonna turn down that volume of worry. For 4 minutes, we're gonna stand in awe of your presence, the King of Kings, who loves us more than the birds. In your name we pray. Amen.